Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, Praying Together. You are studying Lesson 2, How to Pray with Others. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
We pray over this broadcast today, and we worship you, and we praise you for the privilege of bringing your Word to the people. We ask you to open the eyes of our understanding, flood our spirits with light, give our minds concepts and principles and ideas and new thoughts that come from you. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your Word is your thoughts, and we make it our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, I want you to open them, first of all, to the book of Acts. We're going to be talking about a form of prayer that's used all the time. And 99 9/10 of the time, it's used wrongly. At least, I don't have the computer programmed where I can tell you it's exactly 99 9/10% of the time. But over the period of years that I've known about this, which is over 20 years, and I've been traveling back and forth across the nation, around the world, lots of churches. I've been in all kinds of churches, different denominations, some non-denominational, some interdenominational, first one denomination, then the other, full gospel denominations, and all these different kinds of things, different kinds of churches. Been in prayer meetings, prayer groups, brotherhood meetings, men's fellowship meetings. I've been in every kind of a meeting. I mean, I'm a meeting goer, brother. I love it, you know. But in this particular form of prayer, most of the time, it's prayed so wrongly that it's dangerous. And I'm talking about united prayer, when the whole church is called to prayer. Now, in the first place, most of the time, the only time the whole church was called to prayer was at a specific, particular moment in the service where that's just where we always do it, you know. Well, oh yes, we just pray here, you know. And I've done this from time to time. I'd go into a church or in a men's meeting of some sort, a different fellowship meeting, whatever the organization, whatever the gathering was, maybe a home prayer meeting where maybe 50 or 100 people in someone's home, you know, something like that. And I'd tell whoever was head of it, tell the pastor, for instance, and I'm not just talking about one pastor, I'm talking about bunches of them over the years. I'd say, now, I'll tell you what, let's do, particularly in the daytime service. I'd say, now, when we go in there today, don't do anything. Don't sing a song. Don't take up an offering. Don't pray. Don't do anything. Just have the people stand if you want to, and whatever you want, but don't do anything. Just turn around and say, Brother Copeland, would you come? I said, don't introduce me. And all that rigmarole. I said, don't do anything. We're going to put God's Word first in this service. Oh, yeah. Don't do anything. I said, no, don't do nothing. No, nothing. Don't sing a song. No, don't sing a song. Don't do anything. Yeah, okay, amen. Yeah, okay, Brother Copeland. Yeah. And they'd walk up there, and I could feel it. I knew it was coming. He'd walk up there and say, Well, you know, Brother Copeland said, we just want to get right into the Word, but I think we ought to sing a little chorus here. Can't do it. So locked into that everyday rigmarole, that's what it's turned into. It's not necessarily that to start with. It's certainly not just a rigmarole to pray, unless you're not really praying, unless you're just parroting something, just copying something. And this is just where we do it all the time. What I'm pointing out is that indicates that there's not anybody really seeking God about these services because the thing is so patterned. I had one fella tell me, I'm not going to tell you what denomination he's from, but he said, you know, our denomination, he called the name of it. He said, we're so well organized, brother. He said, we're so slick and so smooth and so well oiled. He said, if God dies, we'd go on for 2 more years before we found it out. And what he's talking about is here that, I mean, God had so little to do with it. They'd so well organized it and had everything pigeonholed where you do this and do that. You get to where you can't do it without it. I've told people, I said, I'm going to receive an offering here right now. Don't play the piano. Because I got something else. Okay, yeah. Don't play the piano? No, don't play the piano. Not even just a little piece? No, don't even play a little piece, you know. And, of course, the main reason that God wanted me to do this way, because God had to deal with me. I was the same way, you see. And the Lord had to deal with me and said, now, this is the way I want you to operate that service. Because He's trying to get people's attention to what He's doing and how He's moving instead of just circumstances and things conducting His services for Him. And I'd start to receive that offering, something, and I hear back of it, tinky, 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 tinky. I mean, just couldn't let it. I'd turn around and say, no, don't play. Oh, don't play anything? No, don't play. Don't play anything? No, don't play anything. Okay. About 3 minutes later, tinky, 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 tinky. I said, whoa, whoa. You know, I mean, couldn't hardly stand it. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. You can get into the habit of praying. You can get into the habit of praying over your meals and miss the entire reason, faith, and everything else of why you pray over that food. People get to where they pray at the meal because we're Christians and you're supposed to, and God don't like it if you don't. And my daddy always did, and my granddaddy always did, so we're going to. Well, God, you know, bless the missionaries and bless this and bless that and bless the kitchen and bless, and never actually do the reason why you pray over your food in the first place. The Bible said it is sanctified through thanksgiving, the Word of God and prayer. Amen. I pray over this food because I have to eat this. Hey, instead of praying over half of the world, you know, and everything else. Father, I receive this food blessed and sanctified. And along with that, I like this opportunity to release the force of health and divine healing in my life and in my body because I'm about to feed this food to my body. And so I take that opportunity, and most of the time, and I'm not just 100% of the time, but most of the time I'll say, Father, I want you to receive our thanks for this food. We receive it blessed and sanctified according to your word and according to the fact that we give thanksgiving for it. And we receive healing in our bodies, flowing into our bodies. We receive sickness and disease taken from the midst of us, and your word says you'll protect us from sickness and disease. And so we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And then eat with confidence and faith. Now, let's take that into this subject of united prayer. Let's look at the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, and let's read starting with the 23rd verse. If you have your Bibles, I want you to get them out and look at them because very, 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 very interesting things here that for the most part have been read over and over again, but just kind of read over the top of it and never really stop and see actually what's being said here. Now, God's preachers, Peter and John and them, had been arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, now that's talking about that congregation of people, and I mean they didn't have no 50, 60 people in that congregation, there were thousands of people in this thing. I mean there was, you know, there was 3,000 of them on the day of Pentecost, and then there's record of another 5,000 that had come into the things of God. Now whether all those numbers were all there at this moment or not, I don't know, but there were lots of people. Now listen to this. When they heard that, who's the they? Their own company, their own church. They went to their own church. It's amazing that they had a church that was their kind. It was their people, and they stuck together. Most people, the first thing they think of is going to the lawyer, going to the newspaper. I'm going to tell the news media on you. I'm going to tell them how y'all persecuted me and violated my civil rights. Well, big deal. You know, dear God, they went to church where faith is. They went where the power of God is. And they were not planning on going to the church, make up a bunch of banners, and get out in the street and come against everybody and start a fight. They didn't plan on starting a fight. They plan on starting a revival. Praise God. That's the way to handle this. Amen. All right. I'm not totally against demonstrating if it's done peaceably and it's done right, but that's not primary. That's a side issue. And if you do what's primary, be very, very, very seldom that you'll ever have to go picket somebody for one reason or another. Now, I do believe very strongly in not spending my money with people that are pornographers. I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Store Owner and Mr. Business Owner, Mr. Cereal Manufacturer, you get to putting pornography on your cereal box and I ain't going to buy it. You understand that? If I have to stop eating cereal the rest of my life, I'm not going to buy your pornography. There's no way. I believe in that. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to spend money that I believe God for, that come to me through the power of the Spirit of God and the power of giving and through the gospel, and go spend it with a bunch of people that spout for the devil and all that kind of stuff. And I find out about it, and they run pornography on television and all that. They ain't going to get none of my money. And I just don't mind telling you that. I do business with Christian folks. Amen. I believe in that very strongly. Now then, but that's a different issue than what I was talking about. Now notice this. They heard that. They lifted their voice to God with one accord and said. Now it's important that they were in one accord. Now not only were they in agreement, but I believe with all my heart, I think you can see it in this. I'm not going to argue with anybody about it. It doesn't make that much difference, but I can tell you this. I believe it's important to take the time. I'm talking about a congregation. To take the time when it's time and necessary for that church congregation to come together and pray. Take the time to prepare what you're going to pray before God instead of somebody just coming up there and say, well, now, folks, let me tell you something. Sister Doodad is sick and gone to the hospital at all. If God doesn't intervene, she's going to die. Oh, we need to touch God with Sister Doodad's problem. Well, now, you see, trying to get the congregation to pray, trying to get the lazy bunch to do something, And go on and on and on, and then pray the problem. That's what's dangerous. There's a lot of good people, good, God-loving Christian people, wonderful people. You can be a wonderful person and still, you know, like Brother Hagin says, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. But at the same time, there are lots of churches. I don't want my prayer requests to ever get over there. I don't ever want them to hear that I need prayer because they pray the problem. Instead of going to God's Word and approaching God in faith on the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And besides that, If they take most people, I tell you what, oh dear God. I've seen it happen so many times. On two different occasions, the Spirit of God came on me and I had to butt in and correct it. And I'm not just go butting in on pastors in their churches and things like that. I don't do that. And but in one particular case, I'm thinking about I had to because God said you're gonna have to stop this or they're gonna kill that girl. Now the problem was, pastor got so and so is so sick, she's dying. Oh, she's dying. If God doesn't intervene, if God doesn't come, she's going to die. And oh, think about how it's going to destroy her father and her mother. Such a sweet little darling. He's preaching her funeral. I mean, the whole congregation took on death and just, whew, it has borne a hole in me. And I said, now, Pastor, excuse me. I said, I wouldn't do this. If God Almighty hadn't ordained me to do it, right, and to say this. I said, but would you please, with all due respect, sit down over there and shut up. I mean, he looked like somebody slapped him. Now, I don't blame him. I mean, if I'd been pastor there, somebody didn't mean that. But he had invited me in there, and I was sitting on the platform, or I wouldn't have done. Well, I would have if God had said to me what he said to me in that situation. I went to the book of Isaiah in the 54th chapter and opened up where it said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And began to lay out the word that we were going to petition heaven with and stand in the gap. And we did, and God raised that girl up, praise the Lord. But if you begin that, you know what happens? This is the reason I don't want my name and my prayer request going in front of some congregation. And some fella get up there, oh, we're going to have to pray for Brother Copeland. Oh, you know, and go telling all the problem. And they'll not only rehearse that problem. When church is over with, there'll be 50 of them run, can't wait to get home. And in a lot of cases now, so many of them got phones in their cars, they won't even wait till they get home. Grab that telephone. Did you hear what happened to Brother Copeland? He's dying. He's got this. He's got dab. I thought you prayed. Oh, yes, amen, we prayed. Ah, but you know, he's dying. Boy, I just soon you, don't send them folks my prayer request. I don't want into that, thank you. Look what happened in this. Read through this. Boy, I tell you, something took place here. I believe that the pastor, before he calls any congregation to prayer, should have already decided the word of God and the promises of God and lay those promises. I'll show you how the Apostle Paul brought those things to pass as we study this. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, they all now said the same thing, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now what have they done? Well, in the first place, they started praising God. They didn't start praising the devil by telling God what the devil was doing and how the devil had come down on them and how, oh my God, they're not going to let us preach anymore. They busted up our street meeting and won't let us have any more meetings. Oh, them folks are against Christians. They don't love Christians. You can get over ever being loved by the public if you're a Christian. They're going to use and persecute you, but what you need to do is come on the Word of God with the power and the faith of God and don't pay attention to that persecution. Just go on, you win thousands of them to the Lord. Now, they began to praise God and they went to the Word of God. How do you think they found out what David said? It's because the Word was being preached in that congregation. And then they said, the kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, they petitioned Him right here. They'd been praising Him. They put forth the word in praise before God. Listen to this. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and raise up signs and walk in the middle of the street and cast them guys out of office and kill them and cut their heads off of them and make them sit. No, that's not what he said. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. All you have to do, they're saying, don't make any difference what they said over there. They told them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. But what we're asking you to do, Lord, is make the word of God come alive in the mouth of the ministry of this church with such power that nobody can resist your wonderful word. Amen. Isn't that good? And then, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Now they're interceding. They went from praise to petition to intercession. They begin to intercede for the sick. They begin to intercede for the lost. Boy, isn't that good? Listen to that. Stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled, or they all began to overflow with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Praise God. Tell you, isn't that strong? They praised, they petitioned, they interceded. Well, now, how did God come? Did just shaking the building, was that the purpose? No, they said, stretch forth your hand to heal. What is the hand of God? The hand of God is the Spirit of God. But what moves the Spirit of God? Preaching the word. They said, preach, put the word boldly in the mouth of your servants. And in these last moments, let's look quickly at the 5th chapter of the book of Acts, the 13th verse. The 12th verse, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets where they'd been told never to preach again. They had a revival, brother. They had a breakout of the miraculous and God showing Jesus alive. Hallelujah. Took over the whole place, man. And people started getting saved. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed, everyone. United prayer. Coming together on the Word of God to praise, to petition, and to intercede in one accord. And that one accord was God's Word. Hallelujah. Whoo, can you see a difference in that and what most of us have been mouthing off these little old 50-cent prayers and get 49 cents worth of change back, you know? But this, oh, listen, this moves cities, this moves nations. The folks were still mad at them for doing it, but they couldn't stop it. Praise God. I want to pray for you. Father, in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for this television audience, this vast audience of people out there in the sound of my voice, and I pray in Jesus' name that this word get down into their consciousness, that it gets down into the consciousness of every pastor, every Sunday school teacher, every prayer group leader, every full gospel businessmen group leader, every men's fellowship leader, every women's fellowship leader, every place where there are believers that are gathered together to come together in one accord and pray in the mighty name of Jesus, and that you grant great utterance to the ministries of this nation and around the world to bring great signs and wonders by the hand of your child, Jesus. Praise God.
Woo-hoo. Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out and don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn and remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.